Happy Easter. It's good to see more of you here in the sanctuary. It was kind of getting lonely having a lot more people worshiping at home and not being here. Just for those of you who are worshiping at home, we still have a lot of room for you to come and worship on site. So we invite you to come if you're okay. We don't force you to come. As we are aging, our interest changes. When we're young, we have certain interests about school, about our career. But as we age, now we have a different interest. Our health concerns become more of what we want to really find out more of. And then we think more about death. I remember one of an elder, the second gen elder, who turned about 45, and I asked him, so what do you think of these days? And he said, I think of death more than before. That seems to be true. As we're getting older, we are concerned about how are we going to maintain our health. It seems like as we get older, whatever works hurts, and whatever doesn't work, it doesn't hurt. That seems to be the motto. And we kind of look at channels and find information about how can we maintain our good health and live a long life. Trying to look younger and prevent aging has become $88 billion business in the world. In 1990, the New England Journal of Medicine claimed that the human growth hormone, HGH, which was previously used to treat growth disorder in children, it could be used to reverse aging. So this became very popular. Doctors began to use it, injecting themselves, and then it became in a pill form. And now they even sell it at Costco. In 1993, a number of doctors started using, and then it became in a pill form. In 2009, people trying to look younger began to use Botox. And now it became $1 billion in 2009. Anti-Aging Institute also continued to expand their client base, and it's growing more and more. We are aging, and we don't know how old we are on the inside, but at least on the outside, we want to look young. We want to just get rid of all the wrinkles and stuff so that people, when they say, you look younger, we feel good. When someone turns 60 and they hear the message, well, you look younger, you look no more than 40, we know it's a lie, but we like it. Because we like to hear that we are, you know, just fresh. Did you know among the commercial that we watch, there's a claim to have found the fountain of youth. And that's this water right here, Evian water. I don't get any commission from them, so don't get me wrong. And this is how if you happen to be, you know, on internet, just look up Evian baby commercials. Little babies come out, and then they begin to dance in roller skates. They do all kinds of tricks, and they're like doing the, you know, somersault, and they're doing the flipping, and they're just jumping all over. And pink screen appears in the midst of all this dancing and babies having a wonderful time, and this is what it says. Naturally pure and mineral-balanced water supports your body's youth. Accompanied by the sound and of a dripping water, the ad ends with a voiceover that repeats, live young, live young. So what the message is carrying is that if you drink Evian water, you're going to be dancing like little babies. And there are other commercials too. In all these commercials, babies come out saying that if you drink this water, you're going to be youthful. You're going to have energy. And you're going to be, this is the fountain of youth. But we all know that our days are numbered on this earth. Our days, we can count them. They're numbered. No matter how hard we try, no matter what kind of medicine we take, no matter what kind of exercise we do, it is clear that our days are numbered. We will have to leave here. Even in the Bible, chapter 5 of Genesis, Adam lived 930 years. Adam's son Seth lived 921 years. And in the Bible, recorded person's age of the oldest person is Methuselah, who lived 969 years, and then they died. They all died. No one's here. Jesus, in his ministry, he raised people from the dead. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Widow's son was raised from the dead. Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. Even though they were raised from the dead, they died eventually. In present world, the oldest person living is in Japan, Kane Takada. She is 118 years old. But I wonder how much longer she's going to live. Someday, she will die too. A grandpa was just eagerly exercising, and then he was just fervently exercising in order for him to just prolong his life, to live healthy. So he went out to the golf course every day. And as he swung his club, a young man looked at him and says, "Wow, looking at your swing, I find youthfulness in you. It seems like you're going to live to be 100. But the grandpa wasn't impressed. He seemed kind of annoyed and angry, and he turned around. And with the sad expressions, he said, "I'm 99 years old." You know, to hear that you're going to live to be 100, he only has one more year to live. No matter how hard we try, we know that our days are numbered here on earth. And when the time comes, we try to elongate, prolong as much as possible. Even Christians, we pray to God, "God, please help me. Please save me. Please just prolong my life a little bit longer so I can be with the loved ones." This could be all that we have if we don't have today, this morning, Easter. If this life is all that we have, then we need to do everything we can to live a day longer, an hour longer. Whatever it takes, we need to do all that we can. But Jesus, rising from the dead, gave us a new purpose, new hope, and new direction. Paul, who really believed in the resurrection and believed that death is not the end, this is what he proclaims in 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57. "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Before Jesus Christ, death won. He took over. There was a sting, and there was a victory on part of death. But Jesus, rising from the dead, he gave us a new victory. So we no longer have to see death as the end, but a new beginning. Jesus, like any other person, because he came as a person, he died on the cross. And he was buried like any other man. But after the third day, in that tomb of Jesus, some people came to visit. So I want to invite you to come along with me to the place where Jesus was buried. There were three women he came to pay, I guess, last respect. They wanted to put some fragrance on Jesus. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, mother of James, three women came. Their lives were transformed by Jesus. So they felt devastated knowing that Jesus is no longer with them. Imagine a person that they put their hope, their dream, and their purpose in life is gone. So they wanted to pay the last respect. As they came to the tomb, they realized something wasn't right. The stone that was covering the entrance of the tomb was rolled away. This shouldn't happen because this is not a small stone. It's a huge stone. It takes few men to roll this stone away, but it was moved. As they entered the tomb, the body of Jesus was no longer there. Imagine the devastation. Imagine the hardship that they were going through. Plus, add, insult to injury. They were already devastated, yet now the body of Jesus was missing. They could not put any fragrance on the body of Jesus. At the moment, two men with the gleaming, I guess, clothes, some shining stuff wearing. I don't know if it was some, what they were wearing, but something was shining, and two men appears, and they are speaking to them. They're speaking, what are they speaking? To the woman, they're saying, "Why are you looking the living among the dead? Why are you looking the living among the dead?" They thought Jesus was dead, but these men are saying that he is not dead. He is living. And immediately, these two men says this: "Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee." He said, "Remember." And what is there to remember? They say, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of a sinful man, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. That's what you need to remember. You see, these men were reminding them. And the Bible says the woman remembered, finally. Jesus spoke about his suffering and his death and his resurrection throughout the ministry, but people weren't paying attention because it didn't make sense. Because once a person dies, they thought, that's it. But as Jesus spoke about him suffering and dying and rising again from the dead, it didn't make sense. But now, these men in the tomb without the body are saying, he's no longer here. He is risen from the dead. He spoke it. He told you so. Remember? And now this woman remembers, oh, yeah, that's right. That didn't make sense, but now it makes sense. We need a constant reminder. That's who we are. We need people who need reminder. When we look at calendar, when we receive a new calendar, throughout the year, there are certain days that are marked. You know, in February, there's Valentine's Day. In May, there's Mother's Day. There are all these dates that are special. It comes every day. Well, Valentine's Day, we express love to our loved ones in a special way. That should be done every day. Mother's Day, we need to thank mom for giving, sacrificing everything she had for the family and for me. That should happen every day. Thanksgiving, we need to live a thankful life. That needs to happen every day. But if it's not reminded, it just skips our mind. We just go through life because we blame our busyness, because of our forgetfulness. We forget to express our love to the loved ones, thanking our mothers, and even Thanksgiving, thanking God for all the grace and blessing that he has given us. So we need a reminder. Even this day, right here, what we're doing today is a reminder. Why do we gather every Sunday in order to worship? Why do we need to listen to the word of God every Sunday? In fact, we tell you to do the quiet times. We tell you to memorize the scripture. We just ask you to go through this training programs and all these things. Why? Why can't you just believe in Jesus and when your time comes and just go to heaven by the grace of God? It's a reminder. Every Sunday, it's a reminder that we need to live by the word. Every time we do quiet time, it's a reminder that where we're going in is a sinful place that we need to live a holy life. It's a reminder. These women, after they remember what Jesus said, ran to the other disciples and apostles and told them what had happened. And you know, it's interesting how they respond. If you look at the scripture, verse 11 says this, but they did not believe the woman because their words seemed to them like nonsense. 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 Our senses have limitations, doesn't it? We like to touch, we like to see, we like to hear ourselves in order to really say, I know that is the truthful thing. I know that's the right thing. But our senses doesn't go beyond that. How do you explain resurrection with our senses? It's a nonsense, isn't it? With our human eyes, human senses, even though you might have We have five senses, but if you have a sixth sense, even seventh sense, you wouldn't be able to understand the resurrection. How do we understand resurrection? We understand resurrection through the eyes, spiritual eyes. By faith, we understand. Our senses cannot really take in that the resurrection is real. We call Christianity religion of resurrection. If you take the resurrection out of Christianity, we don't have Christianity. We are like any other religion. What makes Christianity special and unique is that our God resurrected from the dead. An atheist visited a monastery and asked a monk, if God doesn't exist, which I don't believe he exists, you have wasted your life. Then the monk smiled and replied, if I'm wrong, if God doesn't exist, I will be wasting 60 or 70 years of my life. But if you're wrong, you have wasted eternity. It's so true, isn't it? These women witnessed the empty tomb and came back and said, he's no longer there. He's resurrected. Just like he said. But you know, disciples wouldn't believe. today the scripture was read from the Gospel of Luke, but if you read Gospel of John, it talks about Peter and few other disciples ran to the tomb. I guess Peter was an older man than other two disciples. He arrives last. Two of them who arrived earlier to the tomb, they don't enter. They are waiting outside, but Peter kind of peeks in into the tomb and finds nothing but the cloth that was wrapping the body of Jesus. He ran, but he ran to the wrong place. Jesus says, I am going to be risen from the dead. He shouldn't have gone to the tomb. He should have gone to look for Jesus, because tomb is a place where things are rotting, things are hopeless. You see, the place that we need to run this morning is not to the tomb, but the risen Lord, to find Jesus and say, here I am. I'm so glad that you have risen from the dead. We need to look treasure in the right place in order to find the treasure. In 1997, a movie came out called Titanic. I'm sure everyone saw it. If not, I don't know where you've been. But in that movie, a treasure hunter, Brock Lovett, he's looking for a treasure. It's called the Heart of the Ocean. It's a blue diamond. That's a huge blue diamond. And he's interested in the diamond. He's not interested so much in the history or what happened and all that, but he wanted to look for the treasure, and he's looking for it. And he traces to a person who was on that ship, whose name is Rose, Rose Calvert. And he finds her and then wants to hear what happened to that blue diamond. And then she recounts the story of her life from the time that she rode on the Titanic. It's a fictional character, but, you know, it's a pretty fun movie to watch. What happened to the Titanic, it really happened. There are some historical elements, but then a lot of are fictional. Yet, I'm just using this as an illustration because there's a great lesson to be learned in the conversation that they have. And the grandma, Rose, she's recounting her story, how she was kind of forced to marry this guy, a really rich guy, and she had to travel to U.S. to marry him. And she got on the on Titanic. During the journey, there was a stowaway named Jack Dawson, who's a character, what's his name? Leonardo da Vinci, DiCaprio. Leonardo DiCaprio. Jack Dawson, you know, he's a good-looking guy, and she falls in love with him. And she realizes that she found something so precious, more precious than her own life, that this is to really die for. And she realizes how precious this love is. She found a treasure. But, of course, the ship sinks. And then Jack Dawson, he just, you know, drowns. He dies. Then the story takes Rose's, you know, to her house and to all these pictures that she just kept the treasure of the love that she had to Jack, and she lives her life, a full life, because that's a promise she made with Jack, that she is going to live a full life, a happy life. And remembering the love, she has a wonderful life. But the treasure hunter, Brock Lovett, he wasn't interested in her love story. He was interested in the blue diamond. Where is blue diamond? Can I just see it? I know you have it. Can I just touch it? Can I just see it? At that moment, Rose says something just wonderful. She says this. When Lovett asks, where is the heart of ocean now? And Rose says, you look for treasure in the wrong place. You look for treasure in the wrong place. Peter ran to the tomb, and he went to the wrong place, because there's no treasure in there anymore. The treasure resurrected, and that treasure is to be here in our hearts today. Friends, where are you looking for treasure? Where are you running to find that treasure? People just try so hard to find that treasure. Solomon was a king who had everything. He had wealth. He had pleasure. He had power. everything and anything that the people are just working so hard to gain. Yet at the end of his journey, what does he say? Meaningless, meaningless, meaningless. Vanity, vanity, vanity. Everything is empty. It's worthless. Pleasure, wealth, power, all these things that people are dying to gain is worthless. We need to find true treasure, something that will not rot, something that will not die. And that is in Jesus Christ. Now, the story that I told you till now is what happened at the tomb of Jesus. Now, what's going to happen to us? Jesus rose from the dead. So what? What does that got to do with me? Well, we say that Jesus became the first fruit of the resurrection. If there's a first fruit, there should be second, third, fourth, fifth fruits following. And we are the product of Jesus' resurrection. Because he rose from the dead, like him, we are going to rise from the dead someday. We have a pain of saying goodbye here on earth when our loved ones pass away. And we're going to be kind of away for a little while, separated. But soon, there will come a time that this will happen in our lives as well. Paul describes what will happen to you and I when that day comes. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 54. Why don't we read it together in one voice? Ready? Go. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Death will not have the last say. Death will be swallowed up by the victory of being risen again. What is rotting will be replaced with what is permanent. So with this faith, we live day to day. So on this Easter Sunday, I just want to challenge you to really live our life, not fearing the end, but being confident that we too, when the day comes, Jesus is within us and we will resurrect with him on his final day. In Jesus' name, we all pray this kind of prayer, that God be with me till the end of the age. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this Easter Sunday. Lord, many people think of Easter Sunday with the spring break, and they're just having great time. But Lord, we remember what this day is really about. It is a day when Jesus gave his life for my sin, and he rose from the dead, just proving to us that death is not the end, but a new beginning, a new start. Lord, we want to have faith that believes in the resurrection, faith that not only believes, but acts out in our lives, that we will not fear the end, but we will celebrate life that you have given us every day and each day. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.